Hi, you're listening to This Is Not Your Practice Life. I'm your host, Macy Renee, and we are going on a journey together, my friends. I'm a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. And if you really want to step into your highest self, there are a few non-negotiables you're going to have to learn. And I am just the person to help you do it. No matter your past, I'm here to help you create a more fulfilling future. So stick around with me. Not only will I teach you how to navigate your brain's daily mind drama, but I'll help you actually understand your mind, your emotions, why you do the things you do, and why others do the things they do. Most importantly, I'll help you build the self-awareness skills to create whatever results you want. It's never too late to change the trajectory of your life. After all, this is not your practice life. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. My name is Macy and I am so excited you are joining me today. So you guys, I am going to give some life updates, some business updates. So if that's not your jam, just feel free to fast forward. It's not always the norm on here, but I do think that, you know, involving you in some life stuff that's happening makes the podcast feel a little bit more personal. I personally love when other people do this. I feel more connected to them. And so every now and then I like to give you all an update on what's going on in my life and business just to keep you in the loop. So I just got back from Dallas, Texas. I was there for the Life Coach School Mastermind. That is the certification that I received for coaching in 2021. So I had actually been a coach for 3 years before I decided to go forward with certification. And the reason being is, for anybody that doesn't know, coaching is not a regulated industry the same way that like nursing is, or being a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer. We don't have the same kind of bodying or governing body in this field, which is both amazing and it's not so amazing sometimes, and it's okay. But basically, whenever a coach decides to get certified, what they're actually getting certified in is a school's methodology, a school's intellectual property. Basically, the certification is to train you in a method that you really love, that is someone else's intellectual property, and you want to be able to utilize that intellectual property. And so for me, I love the what is called the model with the Life Coach School. You've heard me if you've been here on the podcast for a very long time. It's the CTFAR. It's circumstances, thoughts, feelings, actions, and results. And it's just one of so many methods that I teach my clients because I think it's very powerful for them. So anyways, every year they do a mastermind, and a mastermind is basically where all of the coaches that have certified at the school come together, and it's this big event. They have a lot of trainings and speakers, and you mingle with everybody, you meet new people, you reconnect with the people that you've known or that you know, and it's just this, you know, amazing 2 days to reconnect and just fill your cup in a multitude of ways. So I went to my very first one last year and it was incredible. I watched so many people cross the stage and be celebrated for the amazing things that they were doing in their business. And then it made me set a goal in my business that I wanted to be able to walk across stage. But it's so funny. I was telling this story on my Instagram that the way that you get on stage, the bare minimum is you have to be a six-figure earner in your business. And last year in April of 2022, I had not yet hit that milestone. And it's funny because when the owner of the Life Coach School, or the creator of the Life Coach School, Brooke Castillo, got on stage, she said, "Who's going to be on stage next year?" And I couldn't get myself to fully raise my hand. So one of my dear colleagues that I went through certification with raised my hand for me and basically looked at me sideways and was like, "Macy, what in the world? Why aren't you raising your hand? Of course, you can be on stage next year." And I didn't fully believe her at the time, but I got really curious with myself as to why I wasn't raising my own hand. Because there was a part of me that obviously wanted to be on stage. The conscious part of me wanted to be on stage, but the subconscious part of me, there was something holding me back from really wanting it. Long story short, I did some introspective inner work whenever I got home and was very curious with why I was holding myself back on this amazing goal. And it came down to something so silly, you guys, as to I didn't want to have to speak on stage at the mic, because usually there are thousands of attendees there in person and virtually. And I have a fear of public speaking, which you may not know or may not believe because I do the podcast and you all see me show up on social media. But to get in front of a live audience and speak terrifies the crap out of me. So I realized that the only reason I didn't want to like really hit bigger goals in my business, and the reason I had been playing really small and holding myself back for so many years in my business, was because I didn't really want to be on stage and be acknowledged or have to speak to anybody. So silly. So it's funny because last year they didn't even make any six-figure coaches speak because there were so many, they would have never had the time. So basically all of the award winners just went up on stage, grabbed their award, posed for a photo, and then they got off stage. And I told myself throughout the year, you know, you might as well go for your goal because you'll never have to speak on stage. Well, can you guess what in the world happened this year? Of course, I get to mastermind. I get the little card whenever I get done with registration that says that I get to, I qualify for the award. And so I'm excited. And immediately I go into kind of some panic thinking I don't want to speak on stage. And so it's funny because I started asking all of my colleagues that I both work with and that I was in certification with. I'm like, I won't have to speak at the mic, right? Because there's just way too many people. And they're like, oh yeah, you never have to speak at the mic. There's just so many six-figure earners at this point. Nobody ever has to speak. So I thought, okay, cool. And I had calmed myself down. Well, sure enough, day one, within an hour of the owner of the school, Brooke, speaking, she says that this is the last year they're ever doing the Tiffany & Co. Awards. They've been doing those for 9 years. And at this point, they have so many coaches that are doing really well in the business, which is amazing in their businesses, that I guess they don't want to keep paying for Tiffany & Co. awards. They're not necessarily the most expensive thing, but they're not the cheapest thing either. And I guess they're kind of tired of paying for the awards, but also they mentioned that they had been given a lot of feedback that, you know, some people are not fans of financial kind of recognition and awards. And although the school is a fan of doing that, they, you know, wanted to take into consideration that they didn't want to just measure our success by financial awards. So they announced that this was going to be the very last year. And because of that, they were only going to let the people who qualified for the very first time walk on stage and, get this, speak at the mic with a piece of advice to the audience. As soon as I heard that, you guys, I flipped out. I mean, I had a full-blown panic attack. I am not even going to lie. And I had to really practice my emotional intelligence skills to keep from like running away. I wanted to run in like downtown Dallas as far as I could possibly go when I knew that the award ceremony was going to be happening. I actually thought in the, you know, 15 seconds leading up to them calling my name, that my voice box was not actually going to produce any sound at the mic. Now, of course, everything turned out totally fine. I did it, you know, looking back and watching the video, I kind of die a little bit on the inside because I know a little bit of my grammar wasn't perfect, but it's okay. I did the thing. And the thing about it is I always ask of my clients to do the uncomfortable, scary thing. And I can't tell them to do that if I'm not also willing to do that myself. I mean, I could do that, but I really do believe in integrity. So as scared as I was, I stood in line, I waited my turn, I spoke to the audience of thousands of people via virtual and in person, and I feel like I unlocked a new level of self-confidence within myself after doing it. So between that and just celebrating that milestone in my business and seeing all of my peers, it really left me in a full state of gratitude leaving there where I felt so joyous I could cry tears, because there is nothing like being in a room of people who encourage you and love on you and believe in you when you're not believing in yourself. It's just invaluable. And it was really sad because they announced after 9 years of doing in-person mastermind that this was going to be the very last one, and that the school is no longer doing any in-person mastermind events. And I think all of us were really devastated because community, when you are growing as an individual, is such a beautiful big thing. And it reminded me of why, as hard as it is, like for my program that I've just recently launched, my newest one, the hybrid experience, as hard as it is to plan the event and as stressful as it is, to give that community to my clients is invaluable. And they don't even know, because the retreat for them is this coming week, which is the second thing that I wanted to talk about. But all of this to say, those rooms are so powerful, and now mine have been ripped away from me, but it has made me more determined to create those rooms for myself, to insert myself somehow into more powerful rooms, because it's such a vital piece of growth. I truly, truly believe that the rooms that we put ourselves in and the people we surround ourselves by when we're growing at all levels really does matter. And how funny is this, you guys? Whenever they opened up this event with thousands of people, wouldn't you know, it was called the hybrid experience. Interesting, right? At first I was like, are you serious? And then I thought, oh my gosh, if there was ever a sign that I'm on the right track, literally this feels like the thing. It was the craziest thing ever. So all of this to say, this week, I'm so excited. Actually, tomorrow, I get on a red eye. I'm flying down to Florida, and I am going to be getting everything ready and together for the women who are coming on this retreat. I am so excited. I was looking back at my like photos and my history on my phone, and for me, the Hybrid Experience Program, which is my 6-month advanced emotional intelligence program, I started creating that in August of 2022. So this has been such a long time coming. I mean, my family and friends have been asking me for like a year, when's the retreat again? When's the retreat? I feel like you've worked on this forever. And they're so right, because it's been over a year to actually create and work on the execution to allow this program to be what it is for my clients. It's the hardest thing, the hardest program I have ever created in my business. And it's also been one of the most rewarding because of how it has made me grow and how I have watched the clients in this program grow. So if you're looking for an advanced emotional intelligence program where you're really wanting to get out of your own way, you know you have limiting beliefs and stories, you don't follow through on the things that you want to follow through on because you start to feel discouraged, or you don't feel motivated, or you know, people don't believe in you, or you doubt yourself, you're your own biggest enemy. This is such a valuable room to put yourself in. And I will just say, if you're not following me on social media, make sure that you do. If you're not on the Hybrid Experience VIP email list, make sure you get on there. You can find that on MacyRenee.com under the Hybrid Experience tab. And just follow along, because this is going to be something that you watch happen after over 1 year in the making. And the second round is in current enrollment. So you can enroll to join us in the next round until September 23rd. So you've got, as of right now, about 12 days to join us, and there are 13 spots left, and we would absolutely love to have you. There are also still VIP spots available, and if you choose that package, you get some bonuses. You get to come to the retreat early. We're going to go on our yacht ride. We're going to have a private chef for the yacht ride. It's going to really help you kind of step into that highest self version of you. So if you want to spoil yourself in that way, definitely do that. There are spaces open for you to do that. But if you just want the regular enrollment as well, trust me, that's amazing as well. So we would love to have you in there. And I can't wait to show you all of the things that happen at the retreat. All right, so we're going to spend the next few minutes just talking about something that has come up for a few different people. So I got a message a few days ago with someone asking me basically how to handle the situation. So I'm just going to give you the gist of it and some of the details that she shared with me. And it's just so interesting because I was also coaching a client who had just some similar things coming up. And it's perfect timing because I feel like if it's coming up for one, it's coming up for two, it's something that needs to be addressed as a whole on the podcast. So I'm going to kind of skim through this message and share with you some of the major key points. This person had told me that they listened to like most of my podcast, okay? So most of the episodes they have listened to, and that that's really helped them a lot. But what they were struggling with most is that every morning it felt like it is on her, it's her responsibility to keep everyone on task, get her boyfriend up for work, which is not an easy thing, get several kids of different ages up and ready, take care of the three dogs, and if the kids don't help take care of them, which is a part of their responsibility, then the dogs are messing on the floor. And, you know, it just ends up stressing this mom out to no end, okay? And it affects her all day. But she also said it doesn't seem like anyone else seems to notice or care. And, you know, by the time she's getting her youngest one or, you know, some of the younger ones on the school bus, there's a lot of kind of crying and chaos, and she's cooking and she's trying to keep everyone on task, but she is running her own business, working full time, and feeling like she might just lose her mind. Okay. And so here are some things that I want to address in this because, as I said, it has come up in different ways for some different people. Even a client of mine, we were talking about this morning. And the thing that I want to tell you is that the brain is really sneaky in that it believes that we have a lot more that we're responsible for than we actually really are. So what do I mean by this? What I mean is that you may say, it is my responsibility to make sure so-and-so gets up for work, make sure that their lunch is packed, make sure that the kids are up for school, make sure that all of the animals are out, make sure that, you know, the dishes are done and the food is cooked and the this and the that and the this and the that. And we'll go on and on and on. And a lot of times we take a lot of responsibility for other people in our life, including grown adults. And so what I mean by saying that the brain believes that it's responsible for way more than is true is that you actually are not responsible for the behavior of other people and the consequences that follow, specifically adults, right? So for instance, if you're like, you know, I have a partner that loves to sleep, and if I don't wake them up in the morning, they won't wake up. And even when I try to wake them up multiple times or the alarm is going off, they still don't seem to wake up. And if I can't get them up, they're going to be late for work. They're going to miss. They're going to get in trouble. They're going to get fired. And I'm really stressed about that. When I hear things like that, first of all, here is the thing. You're robbing them of their responsibility and their ability to be very independent in what they're doing in their life, okay? That is not your responsibility ever to do. But here's what I want to say about that. With it not being your responsibility, you can choose to make it your responsibility. So it's not that it is absolutely matter of fact something you have to do. It is something that you're choosing to do. And there can be different reasons you're choosing to do it. You might be choosing to do it because you feel like you want to be kind and considerate and helpful. You can also be choosing to do it because you want to feel in control. You don't want to, you know, feel the consequences of not doing it. Maybe they become frustrated and take their anger out on you if you don't do it. And so you're trying to avoid their lack of emotional control and their, emotional reaction. And so maybe there's a level of control where it's like, I do it so that they don't get upset. I do it so that they will go to work on time, because if they don't, I fear that they will get fired and they won't be able to help me with the bills, and then I'll be more stressed. Like, there are so many reasons why we may choose to be responsible for things that we actually don't have to be responsible for. And a lot of times, if we're choosing it, again, it's coming from a place of either selflessness, I want to do it, or it's coming from a place of I feel like I have to do it, or there's going to be consequences that I don't like, which will therefore result in emotions I'll have to feel that I don't like. Okay? And I just want you to get clear on which one you're choosing from, because it's not my place to judge how you make your decisions in your life or what you choose to be responsible for. There's no judgment there. But something that I tell my clients is that in whatever decisions you choose in your life, you should love your reasons. Love your reasons for why you're doing it. And if you're burnt out and you're exhausted and you feel like no one really cares and no one seems to notice, you probably don't love your reasons for why you're choosing to take on so much responsibility that actually isn't yours. And it's also a reminder that, yes, as a parent, you have things that you will have to help your kids do, right? You might have to pack their lunches or help wake them up in the morning, help make sure they're on task with like brushing their teeth and eating breakfast and all of those things. But especially if they're over the age of like 7, 8, 9 years old, that's a pretty independent stage for kids to be in, where they don't require as much guidance and as much help. And so just take into consideration like how much you're teaching them to be independent and what you want to make sure they're able to do without you, versus the thing that you automatically jump in and do because you just feel like you should be doing that. Right? That's another thing to consider. And if people are not able to wake up on time in the morning with their alarms, it's something to also consider, like, what are our bedtime routines? When do electronics get shut off? When does TV turn off? All of that stuff, believe it or not, does have an impact on sleep and being able to actually rest. Because of the light that goes into basically your eyes, right, and communicates with the brain, it makes it really hard for the body to wind down at nighttime. So if you know your kids or specific kids, you might have 5 kids, if you know that 2 of them really struggle to go to sleep, stay asleep, wake up in the morning, it might be that those 2 kids need to be taken off electronics, you know, a couple hours before bedtime. They might not need to be able to watch TV, like maybe some of your other kids are able to do. Like, you just, sometimes you have to, you know, figure out what it is that is making your routines harder in your day. And also asking yourself, what can I delegate more responsibility to? And knowing that I don't have to actually do it all. So we have to get out of this state of mind where we're like, I have to be the one to do it. Like, I have to act, I have to, because if I don't do it, it's not going to be taken care of. Okay. just observe that within yourself. You don't actually have to do it in those moments. You're choosing to do it because you don't like how it feels not to. And again, it may be, I don't like how it feels not to do it because so-and-so gets mad at me, or it feels even more chaotic, or we start to fight, or people are late, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So if you're going to, you know, step up and do a lot for the people in your life, make sure it's coming from a place of, I want to do this and I'm not depleting myself in the process and they're not relying on me to do it. Because at the end of the day, you're only one human being. And a lot of times, you know, women especially, we get into this role where we're doing it all and we're taking care of everybody. And then we're on the back burner. We're the last ones that, you know, are taking care of ourselves. And then we become resentful. We become tired. We become burnt out. We're overexhausted. We're upset more frequently. We're stressed out. And then that impacts our health overall, our mental health, our emotional health, our physical health, our overall well-being. And it, you know, it's something that we have to work on, especially as women, is to know that it's not selfish to ask for help. It's not selfish to, you know, release some of the responsibility and put some of that back into the hands of others. And what I was telling a client earlier is that when we feel like we have to be the one in control of everything, we rob other people of their independence. Right? So it's kind of like if I was always feeling like I had to wake up my husband in order for him to go to work on time, it would be robbing him of his ability to step up and be a responsible adult in his own life if he constantly depended on me to do that. And there's a difference between that and also the moments where I'm like, you know, he's maybe overtired and says, hey, do you mind if you're going to be awake to make sure that I'm up for work because I'm just really tired. There's a difference between every now and then or, you know, someone asking for help if they notice that they're really struggling with something versus it being this codependency or something that they have to have in order to do the adult tasks that they maybe need to do. Okay. So it's just something to keep in mind. No matter what you choose and what you decide, it's not saying there's a right way or a wrong way. It's saying that in whatever you decide, just make sure that you love your reasons for doing it. Okay. So I hope that this is helpful and I hope that this helps you understand that you always have more power and control than you even realize. Anytime you're saying that you have to do something, question it. Do you actually have to? Like really, there's a lot of things in life that we think we have to do that we actually don't have to do. It's just that we don't like the what will happen if we don't do it. So let me give you the extreme version of this that actually changed my life years ago whenever I heard it. And I was kind of offended when I first heard this example, but it made so much sense. So I was listening to a coaching call within the Life Coach School. I think it was the owner, Brooke Castillo, who was coaching a woman that was very burnt out, very overwhelmed, just felt super, super stressed and frustrated with everything that she was doing as a mom. And actually, she was divorced and her kids spent half the time with her and half the time with her ex. And she was complaining and getting coaching on the fact that when the kids are at her house, you know, they have clean clothes, their backpacks, you know, are always checked to make sure that their, you know, paperwork is signed, their agendas are signed, that their homework is done. She packs them healthy lunches. She takes extra time to do that. She makes sure that their hair is brushed and their teeth are brushed. And she just feels like she's super diligent as a mom to do it. And then she would notice that with her ex, he was putting like gummy worms, right, in their lunch and juice boxes and chips, and that they weren't really getting a healthy, nutritious meal. And she didn't know if their teeth were being brushed or their hair was being brushed and, you know, if their clothes were actually being washed. And so she was really in a high state of stress because she was wanting to control the whole situation with her ex. She wanted to make sure that the care that she gives her kids when they're with her was the same care that she was going to get with her ex. And she basically was doing a lot of extra, like sending clean clothes over to, you know, his house and trying to take extra snacks and things like that and extra lunches and send them over to his house to make sure that she was controlling as much as she could based on the experience she wanted her kids to have. And as a result of doing it, she was very burned out. She was very frustrated. She was very resentful because her ex was like, it's no big deal. Like, I will take care of them the way that I want to when I have them, and you can take care of them the way you want to when you have them. And that's not what she wanted. So she was just in a full state of, I hate this. I hate him. I, you know, hate it for my kids. I don't like it. He's such an asshole, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so she was like, if I don't, you know, I have to do it. If I don't do it, they're not going to have clean clothes. I have to do it. If I don't do it, they're not going to have healthy lunches. If I don't. And basically the coaching that she received, because coaching is not meant so much to give advice, right? Coaching is to help you see the limitations that exist in your brain and what other options are available to you when you have an open mind. It's not to say you have to use those options. It's just to challenge the limitations within your brain, the one-stop or the one-way thinking, I guess you could say, within your brain. So as she's saying she has to do all of these things, you know, she also made the comment of, it must be nice to not have to take care of your kids. And in which case, Brooke Castillo was like, you don't have to take care of your kids. And this mom was like dumbfounded. She's like, oh, what do you mean? Of course I have to take care of my kids. Yes, I do. I have to take care of my kids. And she was like, No, you don't. And there was like this moment of silence where this mom was just like dumbfounded. She was like, what are you talking about, lady? I had the children. You have to take care of the children. And Brooke is just standing her ground and she's like, you actually don't have to take care of your kids. If you didn't want to take care of your kids, you wouldn't have to do it. And she just kept like sitting there and arguing. She's like, no, you have to take care of your kids if you have them. So long story short, after a while, they get through a breakthrough because Brooke says to her, she says, no, one, you don't have to take care of your kids the way that you are taking care of them. That is a choice and it's the way that you like to do it. How we know that that is true is because your ex does something completely different. Your version of taking care of your kids is that their hair is brushed, their teeth are brushed, their clothes are clean, they have healthy, good food and snacks packed in their lunch, their homework is checked, and their agenda is signed. Okay? That is essentially how you take care of your kids in a good way from your perspective. But from your ex's perspective, she said, think about this. Is he feeding them? And she was like, yes, but not nutritiously. And she goes, that's not what I asked. Is he feeding the children? And she's like, yes, gummy worms. And she's like, again, that's not what I asked. Are they being fed something? And she's like, yes, juice boxes, gummy worms, candy, whatever, not anything nutritious. She goes, okay, so they're being fed. She goes, are they making it to school? And she's like, yes, but they're late a lot of times. She goes, that's not what I asked. Are they making it to school? And she goes, yes, they're making it to school. She's like, okay. She was like, and are they in clothes whenever they go to school? She's like, yeah, but probably not clean ones. She goes, again, not what I asked. Are they in clothes when they go to school? She's like, yes. So she said to her, she was like, your definition of taking care of is different than his definition of taking care of. But at the end of the day, they are taken care of. They're just not taken care of at the standard at which you want your kids taken care of. And you get them 50% of the time. So you have 50% control, not 100% control. The other half is for him. And you're stressing yourself out because you believe you need to be able to control all of it and that you're responsible for all of it. And you're not. You're responsible for 50% of the time. She said, in addition, you keep complaining about how hard it is and that it must be nice that he doesn't have to take care of the kids or that there are parents out there that don't have to take care of the kids. And she said, you don't have to either. And the way that we know this is true is because there's a bunch of little safe place boxes at hospitals, at firefighter stations, and you know, police stations where you could at any point decide you didn't want to take the responsibility of being a parent and drop them in the safe place at McDonald's or wherever they are. And she said, and people do this, right? People do this all the time. There are children that end up at hospitals because parents call in and say, I don't want the responsibility of being a parent anymore. I don't want to do it. And the reason that this resonated with me is because my background, if you're new here, is in pediatric occupational therapy. And I actually spent 3 months working in Nationwide Children's Hospital or working at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, as a part of earning my master's degree. And while I was there, there were actually, I can count probably, on one hand, cases where parents called in and said, I don't want to be a parent to this child anymore, and turn them over to social work. So I actually saw this happen where parents who no longer wanted it to be their responsibility made a phone call or dropped their child at the safe place and they became a part of the system. Okay. And so while you may be triggered by this because it's like, oh my gosh, I can never imagine doing this, just remember that it is still a choice for you. It is a choice that you are choosing, and you're choosing because you love your children. You're choosing because you want to make sure that they're taken care of. You're choosing all of that responsibility for them because you want to be. So whenever your brain offers, it must be nice not to have to, right? Remember, you actually don't have to. You truly don't have to. You are choosing to because of the love you have for your children. And sometimes when you just reframe it that way, where it's like, oh, I actually don't have to do this. I'm going to choose to do this. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a present mom. I want to be a present dad. I want to be involved as a mom. I want to be involved as a dad, right? Because also I want to just acknowledge that if someone knows that they cannot take care of a child and they put them in a safe place box, right? That I don't want them. I don't believe that those are bad parents. I believe that they know themselves very well. And if they feel like they can't give the child a good, healthy chance and shot at life, that they are doing the best that they know how to do in that moment. And that doesn't make them a bad parent, right? A bad parent would be to not want the responsibility and the role and abuse them or harm them or, you know, 10 times worse. So I just want to acknowledge that just in case there are any listeners that have had to make that difficult decision. I don't think that you are a bad person or that you've made a bad choice. I think that you've done the best that you can with what you have in that moment and that's okay. Okay. So I hope that this episode helps you. If you have been feeling a lot of the stressors at life, just remember that when your brain tries to offer anything about, I have to be doing something, it's my responsibility. If I don't do it, no one else will do it. You actually don't. So you're choosing it, and you have to ask yourself, do I love my reasons for choosing it? And if you don't, set boundaries. And if you need a reminder of how to set really good boundaries, listen to my episode for the love of boundaries. I think it's episode 3. It's really early on in the beginning of the podcast, but it's very helpful. So set boundaries with people. I'm not going to keep waking you up. If you need to be woken up more than once, like that's on you, right? Or I'm going to stop waking you up. You need to start setting an alarm. That's on you. Like, figure out what your boundaries are if you don't love your reasons for why you're choosing to take on the responsibilities that you are. Okay? All right, you guys. I will see you on social media. I'm so excited to show you all things retreat, all things hybrid experience. If you have any questions about it, let me know. Remember, enrollment is open from now through September 23rd, and then it closes. There are 13 spots left. We would love to have you in there. And if you have any questions, reach out as soon as possible, and I will make sure to take care of you. Bye. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. If you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook at Macy Renee Coaching. And if you want to stay up to date on all of my offers, announcements, and inspirational emails, you can join my email list at MacyRenee.com. In addition, if there's a way that I can further support you in your coaching journey, you can schedule a free 60-minute consult at MacyRenee.com anytime you want so we can discuss the best options for you. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.